Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum, issue 75. And yes, this time it is issue 75.
Last sure about that?
2 weeks, yeah. I've been like one issue off every time. So yes, folks, this is the issue that I say it is and that you're reading on your podcast player. I have no idea what was going on last 2 weeks, why I was so far off on those. But guys, welcome to Heroes Asylum. My name is Mike over here. To the right of me, King. How you doing, my friend?
Buddy. How you doing, man? What's doing happening?
Good. No, you know, we're having a fun weekend. Nothing too exciting.
Nothing really changed. Everything stays pretty much the same that it has in previous weeks. But hey, we got some stuff to talk about, I think.
Yeah, got some news.
Are we ready to go?
Oh, we are definitely ready to go. First one I've got, actually, for just Hollywood royalty in general. This week we had the passing of Carl Reiner, dying at 98. If nobody's familiar with anything Carl Reiner has done, I mean, he's been connected with everybody from Mel Brooks to Dick Van Dyke, Alan Alda. If nobody's ever seen The 2000-Year-Old Man, it was with him and Mel Brooks. It's probably one of the classic.
Oh, brilliant.
Classic, it's definitely an older comedy, but it's very funny. Today, and I mean nowadays, Ocean's 11. He was on there. Can't remember the character he played, but he was on there as well. I think he was the one that was getting sick at the third one or something like that.
But no, wasn't that Elliot Gould?
No, Elliot got sick on one of them, and then I thought the other one was. Was Carl's character, but I mean, the life he's lived in. Of course, you know, we all know his son as well, who's also, you know, a big mark in Hollywood as well. So we're just sending out a memorial of sorts to him and his family.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Carl. And I'm sure his son is mourning him. Rob Reiner, that's for people who don't know. That's his son. You know, Rob's done some great stuff, but, 98 years old. That's a long life. Mm-hmm. We should all be so lucky.
Yeah, the last things I think I saw him in was 2 and a Half Men, I think was like the last things I think I saw him in. He was playing Charlie and Alan's mother's boyfriend, and he was like wheelchair bound and stuff. And basically almost playing a spoof of himself because the guy was like in Hollywood. But he just was just like, I think I more of a spoof of himself, really.
Well, he always could make fun of himself. I mean, they both can, so it's not a big thing, you know. But I guess what was it? A couple of years ago, when 2 and a Half Men was on.
It's been a while.
It's been a bit. It's been a bit. So, it sucks. Like I said, it's a big loss for the community of Hollywood. His son is still there, hopefully still kicking, and we got some stuff from Rob that we can remember.
Oh yeah, a lot of great stuff.
If you guys have never seen a lot of Carl stuff, just go down a Google search, go down a rabbit hole, because you'll find a lot of cool things that you probably didn't think he was a part of that he was. So check it out, definitely.
Yeah, there's like YouTube, just look it up. You'll be surprised and be like, oh yeah, well, I think I've seen that before, or running through like reruns. So the first news I have, and I guess it's kind of, you probably have a little bit of it as well. Rumors running around, Ben Affleck signs Batman contract for HBO Max. You and I kind of talked about this already throughout the weekend, but I guess for everybody listening, I kind of see this as, and it's specifically stating HBO Max, and this letter is saying is Ben is again said to be back as Batman, attached to the HBO Max, recently launched with AT&T and Warner Media. I think it's primarily just in connection with the Zack Snyder cuts. I really think that's all they kind of have to put him back under because they're re-releasing the movie in a way. And I think they just signed him just so he could maybe do some more voiceovers, do some pickups, since they are probably the stuff that Zach is having to fix. Probably the quality isn't that great. So I think that's really all he's doing it for. I know everybody's going ape shit going, oh my God, they're going to have, five or six different Batmans running around now. Oh, what are we? But I think that's pretty much what that is. Not to put a little bit of a truth or logic into it. What do you think?
I was thinking about actually reporting the same thing, but I was kind of hesitant because I'm like, I don't know. But I think it's, I think I've come to terms with all these rumors going around with Ben Affleck, and I have to agree. I mean, I have to say it's probably just for pickups, voiceover works. I mean, I would like to think, you know, big case scenario that the Justice League is well received, and then maybe he could do some stuff on HBO Max with his Batman film, that script, which I had a chance to read, because, you know, scripts get around in Hollywood, and you could look them up online, like literally, and it's a really cool script, and I wish that it wouldn't be wasted, but I just think it's for pickups. I just think it's for this, yeah, you know, whatever Snyder cut we're going to get, maybe a reshoot here and there. I mean, I really want it to be something, but I don't think it's.
Oh, you're a Batman fan. Of course, you want Batman all over the place. Just like, I think that's one of your big things with the new metal and the death metal. It's all Batman. It's all Batman. Yes, there's Wonder Woman and stuff like that, but it's like multiple versions of Batman. And I just think, again, something we've talked about with Wolverine in the past, with Spider-Man, and again with Joker and Batman in the comic book realm, we're getting too much Batman again, way too much. I'm getting overkilled to the point where I don't care anymore. I just want to see the Robert Pattinson one, and I'll be happy. I think with too much of one thing, because it's almost as if they're sort of ignoring the rest of their properties. Just like when we talk about the Joker, they're ignoring the rest of the Batman's rogue gallery. Here, it seems like they're just ignoring other characters and giving them a chance. So that's why I just don't think Ben's coming back for another Batman run. I think it's just
who. I can't see it. They showed pictures of him and he's looking in good shape. I mean, good Lord, if you're going out with Ana de Armas, you better be in shape. But I mean, he looks great. I mean, he looks like he could fit in a suit again. That's fantastic. But, you know, I just don't see it. I just, like I said, reshoots, pickups here and there, a voiceover. That's it. I just can't see him doing anything else. I mean, it even said in one of his things that basically he basically was going to drink himself to death if he ever did that Batman.
Yeah.
So that's why would he want to go down that road?
Yeah, that's why I'm thinking as well.
I just don't see it. But.
So what do you got?
Hey, whatever. Else. Speaking of Batman, Jeffrey Dean Morgan and his buddy Eric Kripke, they were talking on Twitter. You know, just jabbing here and there, and they're talking about Kripke's season 2 of The Boys, which comes out in September. And basically, Jeffrey Dean said, "Hey, man, you know, what do you think? Can I be in the show?" Kripke's like, "Sure." And I guess they DM'd each other on Twitter or something like that. But it's a rumor mill. But I think if they're talking, and the guy is basically the creator of the show, Kripke and Jeffrey Dean go way back to Supernatural, the OG days. I just think it's just a matter of time before they say, "Hey, guess what? Jeffrey Dean Morgan has signed on for season 3 of The Boys." And I got some ideas who he could play too. But what do you think about that?
I mean, I'm a Jeffrey Dean fan, so I definitely would be on board for seeing him doing something like that. It's just finding him the right character. I mean, that's the biggest thing. Just making sure there's the right character is there for him.
I think he's going to play a character called Payback. He's basically the predecessor for the Seven now. He's like an older school, almost like a Homelander type. He's like the prototype of the Homelander. Basically, this character is right up his alley. Basically, he was created to fight Nazi Germany's with his elite hit squad. Things didn't work out the way they planned. And basically, he was almost like an experiment gone wrong. And he's been in hiding ever since. So just a thought of a... I mean, he could play a number of characters. He could play a colonel, a general, a lieutenant. Hell, he could play like a freaking janitor. But if you're gonna get Jeffrey Dean Morgan, you want to put him in a pretty decent prominent role.
Yeah,
he's gonna want dough, and you don't want to waste him. So,
yep, definitely.
That's the guy who I'm thinking of.
Definitely, yeah, I could definitely see it happening that way.
You can only hope.
Yeah. Well, again, I'm always up for seeing Jeffrey. I think he's always done a great job. I've been a fan of pretty much everything he's done. I mean, we've talked about that before. Just because you know somebody and you're like, "Hey, man, we could try to find you something." It's just got to find the right role for him too. If he's going to play something that just to have him in the show, that doesn't make any sense. It's best to find him a role that he works in. Then it makes it even better. Just throwing an actor in that you know just to be in, just just doesn't make sense to me.
You definitely
don't want to mess with the Boys fans, because those guys, the readers of the Boys, and I mean, I'm talking the volumes of readers. I mean, there are volumes and volumes of that comic book out there. Those guys are hardcore. So you don't want to mess with them. They're like the Walking Dead fans. Once you diss the Walking Dead fans, you lost a lot of their viewers, and you just don't want to do the same thing with the Boys.
Yeah, speaking of Walking Dead, he's still on there, so I don't know what his contract status is with that, like how that would mesh. I don't know when they start filming The Walking Dead or when we start filming, actually, because productions are starting up, I guess. I think productions have started on pretty recently on TV shows and movies, so I don't know.
Not that many, man. There's still a lot of areas that they're not letting them go back into that. I mean,
there's a couple. I know it's mostly British, over
UK is doing overseas, it, but honestly, UK just announced today they're only allowing a very, very small amount of people from US to come over, and that's a very small group to start back up in production. So that's an area that's actually started to improve. We're still not. So we're not here locally. I don't think not locally, but in the US, I don't think we're starting anytime soon. There's the talks, but I haven't heard true talks of anybody starting filming, because.
Yeah, most of the talks I've heard is like August now. Yeah. It's being pushed back further and further back. So who knows?
So
who really knows what all this stuff going on?
Yeah, like I said, for us, nobody's going back to production anytime soon. So there was a month ago. Yes, I saw all those news articles that you're probably talking about. Recently, I haven't seen squat because just nobody's going to do it. I mean, the spike
that has happened recently, it's just like affected everything. Everything was going smoothly, and then. You know, I hate to say this, I don't want to single people out, but a couple morons out there thought they were the kings of the world and, just ruin it for everybody else. So I'll just leave it on that.
But yeah, but no I got, like cats. I said, what you said, there hasn't been anything recent for people going back. No. My next one, actually, it comes from DC. Their plans, we've talked about the DC Phantom, the event that's coming down here shortly in place of, because they're not going to be going to the San Diego Comic-Con. DC's running its own DC fandom, and they're going to have everything on there. They're going to have Snyder on there, probably some information about that. They're supposed to show Wonder Woman 84, clip on that, the Suicide Squad, like all these, just everything DC that's coming down the pike. And DC's got a lot of product going right now and getting ready to get released. But they're talking about two secret movies that are up and coming in the DC fandom event that they're going to be talking about. So one, I think, is one that we've already sort of talked about, or I've not talked about, but it's in my list to talk about, was that there's news of them working on a live-action Zatanna movie. And if anybody is familiar with any early Batman or Justice League or Justice League Dark, Zatanna is a very good, strong member of all of those. She's a magician, basically, but she's a very powerful magician in the DC world. And a character that I know and I know that you also, you've always gotten behind because just her character, her strength, and just the quality of what she represents is pretty big. They're talking about there's two secret movies. So one of those could be that. And again, of course, we've got the rumor mills just spinning their wheels with Keaton. And, of course, like we just talked about Ben and then Jeffrey Dean. You just talked about Jeffrey Dean. But don't forget, a month ago, he was in talks with possibly coming back and doing something with them. Haven't heard anything from that. That was just a talk. It could have gotten signed and you just they just went hush on it. Maybe saving it for this up and coming, the DC fandom. So it is interesting. But with the DC fandom right now, what they are doing, they are submitting or waiting for people, asking people to submit questions for the fandom so that during these panels, your questions can get asked. So hop on that. You can go through there I think it's through the DC Universe app or just a regular one. But yeah, there are rumors out there of two more movies. So other than Zatanna, or if you want to knock that one out of it, what do you think? What other movies do you think they could be like drumming up right now?
I think it's going to be an animated movie. I just got that feeling. I mean, sometimes when they announce all these big rumor things, they always say, oh, it's going to be a big movie here, and oftentimes it's often like an animated movie. It could be Metal. Who knows? Maybe another Batman movie down the pike.
But what about live action? What do you think? Well, I mean, let's go. Animated, they're going to announce animated no matter what. They're not going to be, oh, we got something secret coming on. They're just going to announce those. Those aren't big. They've already announced a new Superman one that's coming down the pike that would just, you know, that looks amazing.
I think Death in the Family is supposed to come out this year too.
Possibly. I think that was one of the ones in works. But no, I'm talking like, let's go live action. Let's take ourselves out of the animated because, like I said, they don't hide animated movies. They just release them because they know we're all there and we're going to suck that up instantly. But what do you think for live action? What do you think could be coming down the pipe?
Live action one? Put a gun to my head. You know, as a character that they've talked about a lot and they've used a lot. And Joe Manganiello was cast as him. And they kind of wasted him. I think a Deathstroke movie, if you do it right.
But just a standalone Deathstroke movie?
Yes, a standalone Deathstroke movie. I think there's a lot of elements to that. If you do it right, it could be like the Platoon of the DC universe. If you do it right, I'm just giving an example of another, or the Apocalypse Now, like just put it in that sort of, you know, atmosphere, like a soldier goes out there to war.
We've already getting that on animated. So why would they try to?
I don't know. I mean, I'm just throwing something out there.
I think Booster would be. Don't just stick in the Batman world. I know you love your Batman world. You're sticking in the Batman world. Go outside of it.
No, Deathstroke is not really Batman. He's more Titans, but I'm just saying,
I know. That's what I'm saying. So go out. I mean, like Booster Gold. Somebody like that. I mean, what about a Booster Gold?
Booster and what's his name? What am I thinking? Blue Beetle? That wouldn't be a bad
just
one.
Just Booster Gold. They could do a combo movie, too. But, I mean, yeah.
No, I'd rather have a combo. I don't want them to do so. Like, a solo Booster Gold movie does not entice me. But Booster and Beetle, that's, like, Lethal Weapon style.
I don't know. I mean, Booster's got a big history. I mean, very, very.
Yeah, but most of his cooler histories with Blue Beetle. I mean, he's had some cool moments, like, in the animated series where he shows up. That was pretty fun. I mean, you could do that. But I don't know. There's a lot of things they could do. If I get out of the Bat world and I go crazy, you're doing Zatanna, which I really think they should just do Justice League Dark. I mean, I don't know why standalone Zatanna. I get it, but you know, you can just throw it in there.
Because Justice League Dark, I think as a live action, there's too much introduction that has to go into everybody to do that and to do it justice. I mean, really think of the Suicide Squad. We really didn't get a lot of backstory, and we saw what happened with Suicide Squad. You know, there were these characters that you really didn't know much about. Deadshot, you got a little bit because of his daughter. Most people knew about Harley Quinn. Nobody really probably knows about Killer Croc. You know, anybody else, you know, Diablo. I mean, there's nobody else. Those other characters didn't have a chance to like grow. I always think you need at least something to let them grow. And I think if they start introducing the characters, just like they did with the Avengers, you got a movie and you delved into that person for an hour and a half to 2 hours. And then when they joined a group, then you're like, oh, okay, I know everything about this guy now. That's why I think of Justice League Dark, because those characters are so deep. That you need more standalone time with them. You need a different Constantine.
And they were starting to introduce some of those characters too in that Swamp Thing series. They were doing it really well.
Yeah.
The way they did it. I mean, that was actually when we saw that was the way to go. Like, I think each episode they introduced, like, you know, the Blue Demon and then the Phantom Stranger.
Well, and you just learn more and more. Well, you learn more and more about the Blue Demon as went. Not so much about the Phantom Stranger. You got a little bit more of a glimpse into him, but not as much as you would get with, like, what she eventually did with the Blue Devil.
Yeah, too bad Detective Chimp didn't show up. I was waiting for that.
Again, it was Swamp Thing, not Justice League Dark. So
I know, but he could have showed it up, like see if he's at the bar, just eating some chips or something. Hey guys, I'm here to solve a crime.
Yeah. everybody's freaking out about a swamp monster. They're gonna be okay with a Tonkin Chimp. Yeah, sure, that'll work.
They're going to announce, I think, Black Adam or Flashpoint.
No, they've already got Black Adam. That's already part of the list.
Okay, Shazam.
You don't
I
know.
Can't
you
think
you
of
just
one
you know
right
fun
now.
Today. All right, we're moving on. Kane's got a brain cloud.
I'll think
today.
About it.
All right, so what do you got?
I
didn't say cranky. I said you had a brain cloud. Just like Joe versus the volcano. Got a brain cloud. You got to go sacrifice yourself somewhere.
Speaking of sacrificing yourself, did you know that the horror fans are dealing with this COVID-19 disease better than anybody else, according to a new report? Yes, according to a report, which I have here, if it ever comes up, because my computer's being silly and dumb. Give me 1 second, guys. Here we go. Evolutionary Studies in Imaginative Culture. I've never heard of that magazine. And anyway, they have found out that most of the horror fans, particularly those surrounding massive catastrophes, have largely coped better with the COVID-19 pandemic. Which is interesting. Basically, they're fearing for their life, on the run, catastrophe movies. Most of these horror fans are pretty well adept to this, I guess, because, you know, you watch enough horror movies, you're pretty much adept at just surviving, and I guess that's what they're doing. I thought that was pretty interesting.
So how are they judging this? I mean, how are they doing these?
It says a new I got it right in front of me.
Well, no, it's just funny because everybody's supposed to be inside, so they can't go out to a public area.
I don't know. Maybe they're just doing it online or something.
Just kind of curious.
Those who have, it says proficiency towards the kind of media may have adaptive predestination towards leaning towards the dangerous and disgusting aspects of life. Interesting. And I was told to The Guardian. That's interesting. I don't know if it's real or not. I mean, I don't know how you gauge it, but
well, really, I mean, yeah, if they could do them online surveys and stuff like that, but yeah, it's but yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, most horror fans are you know, open to. Oh, this came from The Guardian. Okay, yeah, never mind. Just read Guardian. Never mind. I just what The Guardian was. All right. But no, even it don't matter. I'll take The Guardian out of the equation. But it is. I mean, because they're more. That's what they're. I don't want to call it a desensitizing, but they are. But see, I'm not a horror fan, and I'm dealing with this just fine. It's life. Just life. Life's going to throw you curves. And you just deal with it and move on. You know.
I understand the logic, though. It's interesting. That's why I picked it up. I was like, I mean, true. If you're going to be a panicker and be, you know, you're going to be stuck inside your house and go nuts, that's on you. Sorry. But
I think that boils down to more control freaks than or somebody that has to have way too much control than anything else. The ones up from the friends of ours that we know, the ones that I know that are having issues with this whole thing are usually the ones that need a little bit more control in their, you know, life. They have to have more control.
And they're the ones that are out right now, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of them are taking trips across states and all that stuff. So. Yeah, but yeah, I thought that was pretty fascinating. You know, it is what it is. Like, yeah, like you said, if you can handle it, you can handle it. But I just thought as a culture, like the horror community dealing with that culture, it kind of makes sense because they deal with that pretty much whenever they pop in a horror movie. Like, Oh, okay, somebody's gonna die. Like, wait for it. Okay.
Yeah. Again, like I said, I think it's more the desensitizing of them to this. One I have, you may be interested in this one.
Ooh.
This one is coming from Disney Plus, has announced their Comic-Con. They're doing their Disney Plus will be part of the San Diego Comic-Con. And originally Marvel was not going to be involved in Comic-Con at all. Marvel was really out. But since I guess they're doing this digital one instead, Marvel decided that, you know, they're going to do home panels just like everybody else is. And it looks as though if you guys can see the news article I have up here, they're going to be you can get a full lineup of the DC Plus panels, Comic-Con at home. But they're going to say that according to this, it says DC joins Comic-Con at home July 23rd, 26th to present up and coming originals. Phineas and Ferb, the movie, if anybody's a fan of that. Candace Against the Universe. Marvel's 616. And The Right Stuff.
Oh, that's the 616.
Yes. Mm. So they're talking about it's going to be the it just says Marvel 616. It doesn't give too much more than that.
That's a good – well, they're leading towards that multiverse stuff, so it's only a matter of time.
Yeah, I mean, that's – it was something I never thought I'd see.
Segue.
Yeah, and put it in – and to prop it into – let's see here. Do they have any more news on it? Here we go, yeah. Says and Marvel's 616 explores how Marvel's rich legacy of stories, characters exist with the world outside your window. It's a documentary series. Okay, so it's not what we thought. It will be helmed by unique filmmakers, explores the intersections of storytelling, pop culture, fandom within Marvel Universe. Join directors Gillian Jacobs, Paul Shearer, and executive producers Sarah Amagos and Jason Sturman as they discuss the making of this DC Plus original anthology series with moderator.
Hmm.
So maybe, hold on now. It looks maybe there is a...
Could be help.
And so they're talking about an original anthology series. So maybe, I mean, it might be interesting. I'm always big on the history of you know, the comic book industry. That I'm reading a book right now that, you know, really just delves into that. So, I mean, if anybody's interested in it, that's a little misleading when it talks about Marvel 616. If anybody's familiar with Marvel, that's one of their multiverses. You know, we always talk about how DC falls, you know, really uses their multiverses. And that's, you know, something, you know, that Marvel really hasn't delved in. And that was one of them. So I thought that maybe they would go that route, but guess not. Oh, well.
Not yet.
But I'm still
it's interesting. I do. Yeah, I want to check out this anthology series. That'd be interesting. I'll definitely, you know, scope it out, see what they have going on there. Who knows if it does well? Maybe they will introduce a 616. I mean, I think they're leaning towards that with the Multiverse of Madness, which will be coming out in 2 years. So who knows? Anything is possible right now with Marvel. Really, they can do no wrong, or they can literally do anything after, you know, their Infinity Saga. So just, hey, whatever floats their boat and Feige wants to do, let them do it.
Yeah,
so.
They got the money. They got Disney money behind them. So
they got the tools and they got the talent to quote Ernie Hudson.
All right, so what do you got next?
Hey, speaking of somebody big, did you know Jason Momoa is going to be playing Frosty the Snowman? Not live action. He's going to be lending his voice to the new Frosty the Snowman movie, which will be produced by John Berg and Greg Silverman, along with Jeff Johns. Berg and Silverman were senior execs at Warner Brothers and helped launch Aquaman into the DC pantheon. Beginning on the script, should be working on within 2 months. The film will be a live CGI lead character and possibly other films to spawn out from that one. So I guess we're going to have a Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. We're going to have basically a Christmas universe now, right? Is that what we're leading forward to? Jack Frost, Rudolph, all the guys getting together.
Why not? I mean, you can. Why not expand that? You know, you throw in Nightmare Before Christmas. I mean, that's up for grabs.
Oh yeah, you get.
I mean, that wasn't that a multiverse he was in? He, I mean, he was sort of the watcher of the multiverse with all the doors to the different trees. So why not? I mean, he was the first epic crossover for the holidays.
That'd be a cool idea. Like the beginning of the movie, it's basically Jack, like an older Jack inside of his house. And then he starts like narrating and you see the door open and you see Frosty. And Frosty is not going to be out of shape. He's going to be a big, huge dude now because, you know, working out in this different universe. So it's going to be strange.
Well, what was it? The Guardians of, what was that one? That Guardian, where it was all the different, the holiday creatures.
Oh man, I forgot.
Shoot, I wish I could remember.
Flight of the Guardians? No, it wasn't Flight of the Guardians.
Something of Guardians of the, or yeah, but yeah, it was, I mean, there was kind of that same concept where you had all the holidays and they were all like different, like special forces type characters.
I just remember that they had a scene in that in the Santa Claus. I think it was one or two where they're like sitting at a round table and all the season. I think it was the Santa Claus 3, and you had like winter, Father Time. They're all talking. Jack Frost was like the enemy. I don't think anybody saw the Santa Claus.
Sure, somebody did. Somebody that was bedridden watched it.
I think so, because nobody else watched it. Actually, the first two were pretty good. Yeah, so Momoa's going to be lending his voice to Frosty. Should be interesting.
Yeah,
I'm not a big fan of the CG movies that kind of recreate older movies. I kind of like, you know, the old school little handcrafted puppets or whatever, the little claymation things, but.
Although I don't think they're, so I mean, they're gonna, it'll be okay. I mean, it'll be what it is. It's Momoa, and as long as he's working on that and not the Crow, I'll be completely happy.
Oh God,
I'll be completely fine right with that.
By the way, I have been cast as the new Crow. It's gonna come out in 2030, so look for that.
Yeah, look for that.
You guys,
next one I've got actually is a rumor, and it's been kind of kicking around. It's not looking good for somebody. Excuse me, I had to get some water there. Josh Whedon has made no comments following Ray Fisher's claims of unprofessional behavior. And of course, this is earlier this week. Ray Fisher made the claims that Whedon on set was a gross, abusive behavior on the set, but the filmmaker has declined to respond. But not only that, but there has been some other rumors that came out from other folks kind of claiming the same thing, that that worked with him on that set, and that they, yeah, he pretty much straight up ignored Zach's script. It was basically like he was walked in and just kind of just picked up, says, oh, let's just finish the movie. I don't care about it. And I mean, in a lot of respects, a lot of people feel that, but I just based off of how Justice League came out. But yeah, there's a lot on there that says, you know, that he wasn't really big on it, but he's also had some of his defenders. Probably one of your favorites, Serenity actor Alan Tudyk, has come out in support of Josh, saying, you know, that's not him. It's, less reliable sources. But there have been some verbiage coming out about his behavior on the set and kind of, like I said, I am a fan of the Justice League movie. For what they did and for the characters they had, and that the fact that they didn't introduce these characters beforehand and let them breathe, it's what I expected. And it does show, I think, in the product.
Yeah, it just shows that he didn't give a shit. I mean, I hate to say that, but I mean, I don't know about the abusive behavior. I wasn't on set. I don't know. That's Ray Fisher, and if it's a couple other guys backing him up, you know, maybe it did happen, maybe it didn't. But as far as the movie quality goes, you could just tell. I mean, to me, he was in a no-win situation. Zach had been fired. They told him, hey, make this great. But you're going to have to cut off like 45 minutes.
Well, Zach hadn't been fired. Zach left. Everybody gets those two confused. He left for family reasons and personal reasons. You have to understand, the studio is not going to pause. We've spent millions of dollars already to this point. We're not going to stop because, yes, we understand. Go do your thing. Go do your personal thing. Mm-hmm. But we have to continue on because you have actors that are relying on this that are contractually agreed with. You have construction workers, set guys. Those guys are depending on a job. So we have to continue. So he wasn't fired. Most of us fans feel that, yes, he should have completed his dream. But you have to understand, movies are business. It's not all about the art. Sorry, we got to put a little bit of reality into that aspect. Luckily, he's getting his chance. But I don't – yeah, just don't say he's fired because he wasn't fired. He just wasn't allowed to finish his job that, you know, that he was in there for.
Well, if you read between the lines sometimes, you know, it's a little 50-50 thing.
If he has to leave for personal reasons, he had to leave for personal reasons, right? That's blame.
He did. He did leave for personal reasons. So then they didn't want him to be there. They said they didn't like that cut of the movie and they wanted him gone. And then so happens that Suicide happened at this almost literally the same time. So, yes, he stepped away. He wasn't asked back.
But again, they're not going to ask him back when they have to continue with. They're not going to. Again, that's what I was saying. To me, it's about the job. It's about business. They're there to make a business.
That's what I'm saying, that Zach wasn't in a no-one. Josh was in a no-one situation. He really. There was not much he could do. He did the best he could.
Again, unfortunately, that's life. Something is going to come up. I've had to step away from my job because something personal came up. My company didn't go, okay, well, we're going to stop doing what we're doing until you finish your thing. And that's the same idea most people don't have about that. You know, and I think that's all that happened. I think what the problem was is that they didn't find somebody that had the heart behind it. They should have, like, found somebody to step in with
Should have asked one of his executive or assistant director.
Yeah, exactly. You already have somebody that already knows the plan and the vision. Get that guy and continue. That's all on them. Yes, I'm not saying Warner Brothers has washed their hands free. No, but at the same time, they can't just pause a whole production because somebody has to do something.
That's what I said, that it was a no-win situation for Josh. There was no way he was going to make that movie great. He came in late. I mean, what was he going to do? I mean, he changed a couple scenes here and there, and I guess he got Danny Elfman to do the score and deleted some stuff. So, like I said, there was no way. He was a lose-lose situation. So, whatever happened on set, do I agree or disagree? It might have happened, but I wasn't there.
No, I understand. No, we're just talking now about just like, you know, what Josh, you know, what happened with Zach. But I mean, if you also look at it, you can see that it's how it happened before with. You look at Solo. Same exact thing happened with Solo. You had somebody in there. They had to step away. Another person came in and wasn't what we wanted. I think it's one of those things. It's really tough for a director to come in when it's probably, you know, 40%, even 50% done, and you got to pick up the pieces. And I'm sure that's, you know, again, that's nothing against the one that's coming in picking it up.
No, nothing against him at all.
Did you say Danny Elfman? to finish the score?
Yeah.
On Justice League?
For Justice League. Yeah. That's Danny Elfman. Dead serious. Look it up.
I'm looking at his history, and there's no Justice League in Danny Elfman's.
Danny Elfman finished the Justice League score.
Okay. Well, he didn't get credit for it.
He should have, because he was there. Yes,
I'm looking at his. I was looking at his stuff, and I don't see any Danny Elfman on there.
Hold on. He was there.
I'm just telling you, I looked it up online, and I did not see anything.
While I'm looking it up, what do you got next?
Oh, no, that was my next. You're next.
Am I next?
Yeah, you are.
Hold on one second, guys. I just want to make sure of this.
So I thought that was all your boy.
Yep. I got it right here, IMDb. Okay. Composer was Danny Elfman.
That's weird. Wikipedia doesn't have it, so.
Anyway, I got next. Sorry about that. I got a little distracted by the voice score one for me. Rumors about actually phase four of the MCU. They've been talking about who their next big bad is going to be. And this is basically a rumor. This is not fact at all. I don't want to say it's a fact. It's not. But they say, according to this is from Entertainment Weekly. This is a rumor that's been going on side here. Jeremy Conrad from MCU Cosmic provided a lot of scoops. He's been right. He's been wrong about a lot of them. He said that the next big bad of Phase 4 will be Dr. Doom himself. Marvel confirmed that this Doom is pretty much in the picture in the MCU, and Kevin Feige said that last July, Fantastic Four projects are underway. And to me, this excites me, because finally the Doom is going to get justice that he deserves. He's been done three times. He's been done crappy three times. And I finally think he's going to get his just due, because number one, he's not going to have electrical powers. Number two, he's going to be billed as a genius, which he should be. He's basically the evil Tony Stark. He's a brilliant engineer and all that stuff. He's got his own country. And go. There you go. That's your big villain right there. And he basically can do no wrong. He creates his own tech, own country. What do you think, Captain?
Well, it was something that we've already talked about. We talked about this last week, where they were the introduction of the trying to remember her name because I don't have that paperwork anymore. But it was of the lady that was the president of Electivia before he came in. So yeah, it's already introducing him to begin with. So I mean, like I said, it's something we've already kind of talked about. I agree with it.
I'm just glad he's going to get his just due. That's my whole thing. I've always thought like the movie versions we've gotten of him has been just garbagey. I don't know who thought about the electrical power thing. That still bugs me to no end. Like, they didn't do that. They didn't do that mistake just once. They did it twice. So it's like, what is it with his electrical powers? I don't understand electrical power, Dr. Doom. Like, come on. I mean, you had like the look was kind of cool, but then like the whole just it's a little trigger in my ear when I hear about those older movies with him in it. Like, even the latest one. Which I didn't think was that bad, but again, electrical powers. Like, why does he have to have electrical powers? Why can't he just be a man who made his iron suit like Tony did? That's basically what he did. He didn't get like melted in space or anything like that. But he's gonna be back with the first family, and I cannot wait. So Feige, just do him right and don't make him with electrical powers, please. Okay, I'm done.
Well done there.
I had to get that off my chest. It's been irking me for a while. What do you have?
The only other thing I have left is we have a rumor, Batman, a live action rumor. Of course, you know, we've been getting that kicked around, especially with Keaton in talks. And still, we have not heard any reports of what's happened with those talks, just that he was in talks. But again, there is you know, little rumors and being kicked around about that. So,
well, I'm just waiting for him basically sign his contract and die the line. I think that's what we're all waiting for, because everything here is all innuendo and speculation here. And of course, that's what we pull here is all innuendo and speculation. It's fun. It's like theorize what's going to happen going forward. But that's one of the things that I really, really hope happens. I think it's a cool nod for the old school DC fans to bring somebody back like that. If they do them like they say they're going to do them, which is all speculation and rumored, you know, he's what, the Nick Fury of the DC universe. I don't have a problem with that at all. That'd be kind of cool. The older Batman showing people the ropes, but like you said, it's all speculation. We don't know if it's going to happen. Maybe they'll announce that at that fan con. I think that's where most of this stuff is going to be announced. They're holding all this stuff back.
Yeah, if pretty much everything we've got it on rumors right now if we don't hear it by DC fandom, it ain't happening. If we hear about it, it's happening. Because that's their time to release it.
That's going to be their time to shine. You want to get people excited, especially nowadays where people are stuck home. And eventually when all this stuff does end, you know, you want to get people excited. And I think the DC fandom thing is going to, what is that, an August 22nd, I believe?
That one's in August, because San Diego's in July 20th.
Yeah, San Diego's in a couple weeks, so I haven't heard too much stuff on that. A couple panels were announced for Sci-Fi Channel, I think Wyoming and Earp, and some other, like the Van Helsing one for the Jake. I think that's been a couple of things, but nothing yet. But the DC fandom, to quote Kevin Smith, that's where they're going to, you know, let out their whole lot. They're going to explode. Everyone's faces. So let's hope. I hope. What do you think?
No, I believe so. Yeah, because that's like I'm saying. That's why I think they're going to do a lot of the releasing, especially like the one you were talking about. A lot of your video games that they haven't, we haven't heard much on. You know, I think that's when we're going to get that.
So. Hopefully. Yeah, a lot of good stuff. So, anything else you got?
The only thing I have left was if anybody's a fan of Fallout TV series. There is one in the works at Amazon. So if anybody is interested, I was a fan of the video game, but the first couple. So I'm looking forward to this one, but it's looking as though this is an adaptation. It's going to be, it says announced it's Tuesday morning or Thursday morning that Westworld creator Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy have partnered with Amazon to create a series based off of Fallout video game. And honestly, I think that is great. If nobody has gotten a chance to check out Westworld, do check it out. Don't base it off of the television or the movie that you guys that came out. It's much better. Anthony Hopkins is just some of the best acting I've seen him do on there. And it's a great show. And I just imagine them doing a Fallout version of that world. I would be perfect and epic. So that's what I am. Can't wait.
When I'd be interested to see, because there's been 3 Fallout games, I believe, or 4. And I played one of them. And it's actually really good. They've actually had some good voice talents. Like Liam Neeson was on there. Clancy Brown was on there. There's like huge. Like, check it out. If you get a chance, look at the Fallout voiceover cast. It's like the who's who of Hollywood. But I'd be interested to see how they do it. Like I said, I have not seen Westworld yet. I'm one of those people who haven't seen it yet. So, yeah, okay. You know, throw the comments, send me the messages, all your hate all my way. I have not seen Westworld yet. So I'd be fascinated how they're going to do it. Because it's almost like it's very post-apocalyptic. I mean, they have Fallout Vegas, they have Fallout New York or all that stuff. So like I said, it'd be very fascinated how they're going to do it. Like, how do you take something like that and put it onto a miniseries? I mean,
well, it's basically, like you said, it's a post-apocalyptic world. So it's going to be about them living in a bunker probably for a little bit. And then the adventure of journeying out into seeing what the world is like. I think that's really what it is. Because, I mean, that's part of the game is that you are in this, you know, Fallout shelter. But it's a bigger Fallout shelter than, you know, just your home one. It's almost like a small mini city. So. You have that, and then of course
then you have to build things as you go along. Yeah.
Well, then you go out and you actually go out to look around, and that's where the it'll turn into a Walking Dead style where they're going out and they're venturing out.
And basically, building your own equipment. They have that Talk Boy thing, which is one of the bigger things in that game, where you rely on it for everything, navigation, like where's food here and there, and you basically build your armor as you go along the way too. You pick up stuff. So I wonder if they're gonna influence that in the TV show at all, because you see these weird horde creatures.
Yeah, I mean,
if your armor's not the snuff. Like I said, I'm curious to see how they're gonna do it.
That'll be the range. It'll be Walking Dead esque, but with more of a centralized area, because that's what it was. Because
I haven't seen Westworld. I don't know what Westworld's tone is. So that's why.
Well, Westworld's more of it's a mixture. If you've ever seen the movie Westworld, imagine that, but like put it into the fact that it's got to be an ongoing series where they are going to these places to live out these fantasies, and then basically the machines start realizing that they're there to be used, and that they've been reborn and reborn and reborn over and over again. And now that they realize that that's what's going on, it's a mix of the original Westworld with almost a twist of Terminator, that the other machines are becoming realized. But then they were like, well, wait a second, but we kind of want our freedom. We don't want to be this way anymore.
So almost like an evil AI then.
Not evil, they just realized, hey, we've been used. We want to be
okay. Okay.
It's not that they're going, oh, we're going to kill everybody. No, it's not like it's more nuanced than that. It's not straight up, you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so they want to be human then.
Yeah, basically. They're like we're sentient. We know what's going on because they start having flashbacks of their prior lives. As very, I guess I could really just throw it into Battlestar Galactica, how, you know, when they were the machines, they're machines, but they have thoughts and feelings. Mm-hmm. And it jumps into the different worlds. It jumps into the West world and then into the current, you know, futuristic world. So it's really cool. So again, with that concept of going in and out of worlds from being stuck inside of a, you know, a tube, you know, in a fallout shelter to going out into the open world, I could definitely see the producers of Westworld translating that over much better.
And they can get some of the voice actors. I mean, throw some guest starring appearances.
Like it's not animated. It's real. It's real.
Well, I'm just saying they could throw like Liam Neeson in there for like a little guest spot. You know, just like little nods to the game.
Yeah.
Just saying, like, he doesn't have to be like a main cast member. Like, oh yeah, he voiced such and such. You know, just like little nods.
They could do that if they chose. San Diego does have a schedule out. Looks like they're going to be doing some panels with American Dad, Archer. Bless the Hearts.
What is that?
These are pretty much animated ones. Bob's Burgers. Okay. They will animated one for Hulu, Crossing Swords. Duncanville, a Family Guy. They're going to have Family Guy cast members coming out or being on there. Fear of the Walking Dead, something we just talked about. The Hulu series Hellstrom will be visited there following Damien and Anna Hellstrom. So the children of a mysterious serial killer. They hunt down the worst of humanity. So that one, Hoops will be on there. Again, the Marvel 16 I already mentioned. Next, it looks like they're actually going to celebrate the show's second season for the Joe Hill series Nosferatu.
Nosferatu. That was with Zachary Quinto, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
They're going to be talking
about that. I actually saw a couple episodes. That's not too bad.
Yeah. Man, it's Joe Hill. Again, he kills it. You know, he knocks it out of the park. The Phineas
Ferb. It took me a while to get onto that show, but it goes a little bit deeper. Like, it's like a slow burn, but like first five episodes are really slow.
Well, it's Joe really Hill. If you ever watched Horn, that's the same writer.
Okay.
That did. It's Stephen King's son is who Joe Hill is. The Right Stuff, The Simpsons will have a panel on there.
The Right Stuff?
Yeah, really? That's a Disney Plus show, and basically kind of like following it's a reimagining of the original movie, The Right Stuff, but Disney, Disney Plus style, so it'll be a more series-based than a movie. Solar Opposites, Stumptown, The Walking Dead.
Stumptown? What is Stumptown?
Stumptown's the one with Kobe Smulders, that new show that she's on.
Oh, okay.
And then What We Do in Shadows will have a panel. And then Wynonna Earp will have a panel. And again, guys, this is just the current list. I'm sure there'll be more. This came out, 2 weeks ago. This article I'm reading came out on the 24th. So they still got another 2-3 weeks to get more drilled down. But yeah, July 23rd is when it is.
Should be interesting. And gotta see Wynonna Earp is gonna come back for season 4. You talk about crazy fans. The Earp heads are insane. Look them up.
Oh no,
those guys are crazy.
We know one of them.
Yeah, right here.
No, our.
Is there another one?
Yeah, Cindy.
Really?
Oh yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh yeah.
She's bigger. She's an Earp head. Well, basically it's like if Tombstone and Supernatural had a baby, it's Wynonna Earp. That's what I always say. Basically along those lines, but yeah, Comic-Con should be coming soon, and we can't wait for that. Is there going to be tickets on sale? Is it going to be a free thing?
I know. I think Comic-Con, everything I heard about San Diego Comic-Con was going to be free.
And what about the fandom?
Fandom, I have not heard. I'm pretty sure they're not going to differentiate themselves that big. If anything, San Diego probably will have a price structure maybe to get more things behind the scenes.
Probably like Super Chats or something or Streamlabs.
Some of the ones I go to, I go to a lot of podcasting conventions and stuff, and lately a lot of them been online, and I've been doing those, and some of them, that's what they are. Some of them are, hey, you can get in free, but if you want to be able to ask questions to so and so, you need to pay this much, or if you want to have a recording of the full weekend of
that
convention,
that makes sense.
I mean, there are price points to them, so maybe right now San Diego is not, there's no charge for anything. But there might, maybe they'll, getting closer, may have like I said, like tiered sections or price points for getting extra things. Who knows? I mean, it's...
Yeah, like submitting your questions. Maybe you have, like, a private one-on-one video with Gal Gadot for 2 minutes. I don't know. I'm just guessing, but they would have to do something like that along those price points just to get, you know, it's free, but, you know, some extra things you're going to have.
Because, I mean, the amount of... I know, personally, some of the ones I've seen in the past, the amount of money it takes to get that kind of bandwidth happening and having as many people that are going to jump in there, you know how it's going to be ridiculous.
That's going to be insane. I mean, they got to be careful that those servers don't crash that. That's going to be nuts.
That's going to happen.
That's definitely going to happen. I can see that coming a mile away. Like, whoop, and they'll cut back in.
These are starting. This will be starting on a Thursday, just like normal. It's going to run Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for San Diego. So, you know, of course, you know, all the big things will be happening Fridays and Saturdays like normal. And Sundays, guys, always remember Sundays is the big. So usually the big like rollout for a lot of things. It's like the last second. Like,
it's the last gas.
We're gonna debut this and make him just blow your freaking mind.
And by the way, we'll see you next year. Wait a minute, I want to know more.
Yeah,
okay. That's basically
it. So that is it for me on news. What do you got?
That's it for me, sir.
All right, perfect. Really, I haven't gotten a chance to. I've read a couple of books this week. I know you just were able to get out, so.
Yeah, I got two in the pipeline that I've finished reading one, and I'm beginning the other one right now. So I should have something by next week. I should have like three or four next week.
Cool. So maybe
we'll... just give you some ideas, some cool reads I've been doing, and maybe a blast from the past too. I still want to read those.
All right, folks. Well, that is all we have. Make sure you guys do check us out on heroesasylum.com. You'll find our links for this show, also our links for Midnight Movie. We've got Midnight Movies coming out every week this, like, for the last 2-3 months now, I think. Ever since we went into quarantine, we've been consistently coming out with watch along. So make sure you guys check them out. Last week we did do The Crow, the 1994, I can't remember now off the top of my head.
92 and 94. No, it was 94, 96, yeah. I believe.
So no, last week we only released the one, not the one we recorded. Just the one we released.
Sorry. Sorry, guys. Sorry.
God, man. Giving away the hitting what's behind the curtain, dude. Come on now.
Sorry.
Don't you know the wizard doesn't want people to know that?
That didn't happen. Yeah. Look in here real quick.
We had Crow last week. This week we'll have the Big Lebowski continuation of our movie themes. And then the week after we'll have the other Crow movie coming out. So what do you have there, sir?
Sir, we are on Twitter at the Heroes Asylum Podcast. Check it out. Good things happening on Twitter and on Instagram as well. Facebook page, Heroes Asylum and the Heroes Asylum Podcast. By the way, shout out to the many, many fans and the people on that page. Basically, the page has life its own. I'm not doing anything. I'll just post a couple of colorful pictures here and there. Maybe a thumbs up. You guys are making that page go. Thank you very much. If you guys have not listened or downloaded the Midnight Movies, do yourself a favor. If you... do it. Just do it one night. Gather some friends over. We have a ton of movies on there. Get a couple beers, wine, whatever you guys drink, and listen to them. That's basically Kane and Mike Unplugged, Unhinged. And basically, we're having some beverages as well. There's some interesting conversations in there.
Yeah, there's about a year's worth of twice a week or twice a month we were doing them. But yeah, I mean, you're probably close to like 60 movies on there. So.
But do yourself, just check it out. Just if you've never heard it, just do yourself, just pick any movie out there that might interest you. Heck, pick the Batman and Robin one. Pick that one. And you can hear like lots of anger from Kane. Lots of anger. And then Captain joins in. That's a great one to listen to. Actually, they're all great. But check them out. They're awesome for a Saturday or Friday night. You can't go anywhere. Hop in one of those. It'll be easy on your ears, man. Trust me. And as always, from the Captain to me to you, get to the asylum.